and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Fablemans, a 2022 film directed by Steven Spielberg. This was... whose pick?
Yours.
This was my pick. This was my... oh, it's me. Well, I loved it when I first saw it. And Yusuf, being a big Spielberg head, I thought we might as well discuss it. So...
I thought, what do you think? Okay, so the first 30 minutes, I was like convinced that Super 8 was this. I thought it was, he did that in Super 8, and J.J. Abrams did it for him. And then it went along, I fell in love with it more, and I fell in love with the characters. And
yes.
And yeah, and just found that it was about much more than just, you know, vanity. Movies are great, yes. And I'm... this is my
it's
story.
More about his family.
Yeah.
It's literally just about his, like, his mom and the mom. My God. How much of it do you feel like it's real? How much? Because it does a lot of points. It feels like you can't make this up. Like, there's a lot of stuff that his mom says or his dad.
It's a lot of, like, I don't know. I think specific details, like the dancing and the camp and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And answering the phone. But I mean, that could be just someone's imagination. I don't know.
One of the most recent portrayals where I feel like they actually do feel like a family, and everybody in it feels like it's like an ensemble movie.
I have a big issue with Paul Dano. He's not old enough.
Really?
I just felt like he was out of place, but everyone else was perfect. Yeah.
But he was so good.
He was good.
His performance was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Because like he has a tough character to go like, because he's the dad who goes. Who's losing both his wife and his son because they're too similar, and he's like, he just can't understand. That last sequence with him looking at the photographs, like that almost, was so sad. I couldn't, it kind of broke me a little bit. He's like, oh yeah, he's lost everything because of this.
But he asked her to give up everything to be with him.
He's only asking.
But like, no one views it that way. People feel bad for him, but they don't feel bad for her.
Well, let's bring up the elephant in the room, which is Seth Rogen, who shows up and cucks Paul Dano.
I thought he did a good job.
He was really good. I think he did a really good job. That's last goodbye between him and Sammy, where he's like, "There's so much unsaid." He's like, "I know you know. You know I know," but I'm not your dad, but. Let me try this. Let me just try and like make it up to you or do something to let you know that I'm not like your enemy or something like that. I thought it was very good. I loved all of the Boy Scout stuff because that's all just from The Last Crusade. Yusuf, did you notice that it made me lose my mind in the theater when I noticed it, that in Last Crusade, he transitions between young Indy and old Indy with a match cut, right? Because he lifts his head and now he's like old Harrison Ford. He also uses a match cut to transition between from him as a kid, like stop and like directing movies, his family movies, to him directing the Boy Scouts. It's also a match cut. I lost my mind. I thought it was such a beautiful little nod as to like, yeah, this is how it works. And he makes it look so seamless.
I didn't pick up on that, but yeah, it was cool.
How do you compare this to his more recent output?
I think this is better.
Which was?
West Side Story.
No, I didn't see that. The Post.
Have you seen The Post? Bridge of Spies.
I haven't seen either of those.
I've seen
all
both
of them.
Those.
Just felt like I can get an Oscar. It's easy. I'll do.
Honestly, one. Yes, because he's so good at like just framing and just pulling off sequences. It does feel like he's doing it in his sleep with those
but
movies.
It does feel like I don't some. COVID thing where loads of directors just wrote about their childhoods.
Yeah.
And now there's a ton of movies about these male directors.
Mm-hmm.
No, but to be fair, a lot of them are Jewish, so it's like,
yes,
you know, centered around their struggle as being. I don't know about the other one. What was the James
Armageddon Time?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. But,
I haven't seen that.
But this one's pretty.
That's
like
about
race. Oh, really?
It's about him being befriending a black kid, I think. That's what we glean from the trailer. But it heavily deals with his Jewish identity.
Yeah.
How did you think about how they tackled that? Like, I was
getting panic attacks when I watched him getting bullied. So.
Yeah. But then there's that girlfriend. I love that actress. She made such a great impression. Like, how do you only have 10 minutes of screen time and like make it last? She's very, very funny with the Jesus stuff. And then he's also very funny when he's like, oh, so it's like a shrine of dudes. Cool. And I love how that's the one part of the movie that everybody can unanimously agree is completely made up. It's like, you didn't date a Christian girl. Come on. You didn't do that. But how did you feel about how he handled the bully thing? I thought that was amazing. The way he shot the summer film that he made. And then the bully confronted him afterwards. Like, you make me look like somebody I'm not. You put it out there. And now I look at myself, like I see myself on the screen and I can't even connect. I can't, that's not me. All his insecurities start bubbling up. And he starts crying. It's so good. And I love how like Sammy's like, oh, I didn't mean to like upset you. Of course he didn't. It's like, I didn't know you were going to react like this.
Yeah. I love how he's like, maybe I'm messed up in the head. Like, he's like still like figuring out, oh, I'm not in control of this too. Like,
yeah, it's like, maybe I just did to make my movie better. Maybe I hate you. Maybe I he doesn't know. Yeah. I love that. It's like, why do we use... because it's not really a movie about how amazing movies are. It's a movie about how we use art to process our emotions.
True.
Michelle, what do you think?
That was great.
You thought it was great? Why do we always have less to say when it's great?
Yeah, it's because there's nothing to criticize.
Yeah, it's hard.
I know one thing I can criticize. Michelle Williams shouldn't have campaigned herself to be lead actress.
Oh, she's supporting.
But I mean, I kind of understand it because she is like the second main star.
Yeah.
Because it is about her. It's his relationship with her. And I think it's just it's like her reclaiming everything she lost. Because she gave everything up. She could have been a famous pianist. And she gave it up to have
kids. Oh yeah, because then there's like, oh, that was two kids ago. Like at one point during the earlier in the movie.
Yeah, and be married to him. Because that's what you had to do in the 40s and 50s.
And put up with his terrible mother, criticizing her. Like, oh, she was so mean. Yeah, but it is. But it feels like she's still, like, it's through him. Like, her seeing through him. I think that's a very, very important
distinction. Yeah, because that's the only way you can
really, like, confront. Yeah, reckon with it. One of the most realistic sisters I've ever seen in the movie. I don't know how he did that. The kids, like, it's like they feel like real siblings, the way they interacted and all that. I thought that felt so real. And I love how he got them to be in his movies. That was very, very cute.
Yeah, that's the most unrealistic thing, I think.
That they won't agree to do that.
Yeah.
Apparently, so when I was in middle school, I read a brief, a little small little biography of Spielberg. And then he said does. So a lot of the stuff does kind of match up. He did make a lot of World War II movies. In fact, he even got his mom to be in his like World War II movies at one point. And he also like involved his sister. So all of that kind of, and he dad did like work with computers. So most of it kind of lines up. But I didn't remember reading about the divorce or anything like that. But still. But his sister also has the best fourth wall breaking jokes. Like, are you going to make a movie about girls one day, or is it just about guys looking sadly?
But this is technically his movie about girls.
This is his movie about girls. Like, it's so funny. He hasn't done it. He just makes movies about me. I love how he put that in his own movie.
He also did the kid when he's like, unless I make a movie about it.
I'm going to make a movie about it. And then he almost looked at the camera. So, that killed in the theater. That had the entire theater like roaring when he said that.
Oh, really? That must have been a
fun theater movie. The best fourth wall break would probably be The Last Shot. When you want to meet the greatest filmmaker of all time? It's David Lynch.
That was amazing.
Who walks in. That was amazing.
But that actually happened, right? Like,
I'm pretty sure he did. It's too big of a thing for him to, I think, like, forms him into who he is today. David Lynch was great. I keep forgetting how good of an actor he is. Mm-hmm. And then you watch, like, when he shows up in Twin Peaks, like, he's always very, very funny and blends in really well. He yells every line in Twin Peaks because his character is deaf. So it's just... And he's asking everybody to repeat themselves or say something louder. Mm-hmm. It's really good. They even include a little record scratch sound when David Lynch walks in. Because they start, the camera pans around the room, the searcher's like main theme plays, and his record scratches. Beautiful. What did you think about like the advice he gave him? I thought it was so true. It's like, if it's about the horizon.
Yeah, I don't understand visual camera stuff. So I was like, okay, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do like the rising panic in Sammy's voice when like he starts yelling out. It's like, no, the horizon. Where is it? It's like, at the top, right. Top. So good. That kid, amazing.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah.
First time I've seen him in anything, he's fantastic.
I don't think he got an Oscar nom, though.
He should have. I think he's really, really good. I think Paul Dano should have. Maybe at least got a nom or not. I don't know. It's not hard. They can nominate. Are they like selected, like limited nominations? Or can they?
I think it's up to 10 or 12.
10 or 12.
But like, they haven't been. I don't think there's that many this year.
Anything else we want to add?
No.
No? All right. Shall we take a break?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Rate them up, 7 reels, not just rate it up. You just want to film this time. I'm going to go first. I'm going to go 6 out of 7. I guess I can't give perfect scores because I just don't want to give a perfect score. Even though I feel like I really, really liked it. I think Spielberg really poured his heart into it. Yeah, 6 out of 7. Michelle?
Yeah, 6 out of 7.
What would you take the 1 point out for?
I just don't like giving things 7 out of 7.
Yeah, I'm going to do 6 out of 7 too. But I just don't think it's like perfect. I think if you watch it again, you did watch it again, but I feel like if I watch it again, I wouldn't be as like into it. Yeah.
But what was the part in the first 30? You say the first 30 minutes, you're like, but what was the part that kind of got you go like, oh, okay, this is starting to get a little like.
I think after they moved and it became clearer that it was more about like his mom. I was like into it, but before that, when he was just like, you know, some kid discovering the magic of cinema, I was like,
so I could do that by myself. We just go and watch it.
Yeah, Super 8 has monsters in it too.
Super 8 has monsters in it.
So it would have been cool.
Have you seen Super 8? It's the best film J.J. Abrams has ever made.
I want to watch it again, to be honest.
Yeah, the first like 40 minutes are heaven.
Yeah, it's so good in the beginning. Oh my god, yeah.
Where you're just watching these kids try to make a movie, and it's the best.
Sorry, perfect 40 minutes, then it becomes
perfect 40
like,
minutes.
You know,
and then it becomes dumb.
Yeah.
The moment, like, he's like, oh,
well,
it's
I remember,
box.
Yeah, like, I hated how it...
Yeah, with Elle Fanning, like, they got...
It's really boring.
Yeah, like, oh, do we get to be the actress? Like, I like her, but we might like her, too. Like, I love that. That was so beautiful.
Yeah. It was good. Oh my god, I missed that one.
And then, like, JJ's like, no, my mystery box, but my mystery box. Where did this alien come from? No, I don't care. None of this matters. Okay.
Anyways,
let's move on to what have we been watching this week? What have we been watching this week?
I'm still watching The Sopranos. I'm not going to talk about the other thing I watched because we'll do an episode about
it. What season are you on?
I'm in season 4.
I'm trying to remember what. Is Adriana gone?
Adriana is in custody now.
Oh, okay, so it's going back so downhill from here.
And
the Christopher Nolan looking guy, is he still around?
Yeah, and he's dating his sister, if we're talking about the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate that guy. But it's still
good.
Show.
It's a very, very good show.
I'm so confused as to how they got me to care about Meadow more than the mob subplot. Now I'm like invested in his daughter's university journey.
University?
it's kind of a cool, I don't know how they
did
that.
Sequence when Carm like subtly, not very subtly, blackmails like someone else into like getting her in?
I thought that was awesome.
It's so good. she's just as bad. It's like, oh wait, she's a mob wife, and she will, yeah, if necessary, like, do what and she must.
Peter Bogdanovich is her, mm-hmm, is the therapist's therapist, Michelle. I'm trying to sell you on this show. So
I'll watch it.
It's really good. Yeah, so it's, you're like, why, these are the worst people I've ever seen. Why can't I stop loving them? Like, it's beautiful. It plays its trick on you.
I think it's in the details. Like, they'll do stuff, just like when he went into Meadow's room to yell at her, and then he's, mm-hmm, sitting down, and then he sat on a bowl that she left, mm-hmm, on her chair, and then he gets up and picks up the bowl, throws it on the desk, and then sits back down and continues his conversation. And I don't know, I think it just tricks you into being like,
'cause it feels so real.
Yeah, this is a person, and some mundane stuff, mm-hmm, is happening. And then you're like, oh, but he's also a monster.
Thinking about this. Like, I think that's the brilliance of its side characters, right? Because, mm-hmm, it's usually the most reprehensible ones, like the side characters come in, you're like, oh, he's terrible. But then you realize, wait, that's like their brother. That's like their coworker. They're all terrible.
Yeah.
You just, and you trick, because you're so familiar with, like, you know, just general crowd. And, all right. Mm-hmm. I watched a bit of Poker Face, Rian Johnson's new show. I insist it's very Columbo. It's very, very, very Columbo. And I quite like it. It's beautiful. It's kind of what I always wish Knives Out was, and what I think he excels a lot. He's an excellent television director. That's something people don't really like. He did the best episodes of Breaking Bad. He's much suited doing this sort of thing than he is doing those stupid Knives Out movies. It's the only thing that's going to probably keep Peacock alive for now, so we'll see.
No, Peacock's doing well now, apparently.
Are they?
Yeah, people keep saying, is this the Peacock's moment? Yeah, apparently. Ah. So, they have some other show that is ahead, too, with the girl from The Hunt. Sorry, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm, better than Paramount Plus. Their ads are so sad. I'm like, what do you, mm-hmm, have? Halo? Get the fuck out of here. Who watches that? Yellowstone? What are you? It's a big show still. It's a big hit. It's a big hit. Michelle, have you watched anything? Have we watched anything?
No.
Other than our cooking shows?
No, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Okay, what are our recommendations?
Mine is Super 8.
Mine is Munich. This is his closest one about his other movie about confronting his identity, which I also really enjoyed. And Michelle?
Mine is Hand of God.
Oh, the Paolo Sorrentino one. Yeah. That's really good. That was really, really good.
Him being a child and growing up being a filmmaker. Same thing.
It's the exact same movie. Arguably more interesting just because of the setting. Like, just the Naples setting. Okay. All right. Well, that moves on to what we will be watching next week. Michelle, it's your turn to pick. What are we doing?
We're watching another Bergman.
Back to our namesake.
Mm-hmm. We're watching Hour of the Wolf, which is, I think it's a bit different for Bergman. It's about a guy going insane.
Yes. All right. Nice. Yeah. I love those movies. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, keep it real, stay safe, and we'll see you all next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lin, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.